Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Grubb. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He did it. He's done it. Steamboat's like Russell. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank studio. We are on until 9 o'clock tonight and open for business with your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Or you can tweet at us. It's the end of Super Week. The Super Bowl weekend is here, Jonathan. But the NBA is the lead story this week.
It's funny, on the notes on last night's show, Eric and Sean had notes for me, and they said, where's the buzz in the Super Bowl? And I thought, well, the buzz of the Super Bowl is actually in the NBA. Yes, you're not getting that same drama in the NFL for the Super Bowl for Super Week as you are in the NBA. There is a lot of news taking place in the league, and it is very intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. So Super Bowl 53 takes place on Sunday. We'll have plenty of time to talk Super Bowl. We'll talk with Alex Brown at 8:10 this evening as we get ready for the Patriots and the Rams. But, you know, the top story today and the top story yesterday and the top story the day before that has been storylines within the NFL. I mean, within the NBA and not the NFL. And I think it's a fascinating place to start, right? Because with Anthony Davis saying publicly that he wants to be traded from the New Orleans Pelicans, we have Kyrie Irving. Now there are reports that maybe his dedication to the Celtics long term is starting to waver. And we see right now on ESPN television the Celtics and the Knicks playing at Madison Square Garden tonight. You see Kristaps Porzingis get traded to the Mavs. The Mavs now making moves. Now all this cap space for the New York Knicks. All of this stuff happening in the NBA. The NFL is taking a back seat, even though this is their week. Super Week, their biggest game and the biggest buildup, yet all anyone wants to do, you know, SportsCenter has been reporting live from Atlanta all week.
Sure.
Each day of the week, leading with Woj. Each day of the week, leading with an NBA story. Here's Stephen A. Smith on this. Here's Wilbon on that. It's been a fascinating week, the way the NBA has caught everyone's attention in the sports world.
And whether you like it or not, what has happened here is that the NBA has become a 12-month-a-year story. It used to be just for 8 months, and then you had your off season. But because of social media and because players in their penchant to want to go elsewhere or looking at free agency, because that's going to be looming on July 1st, those stories seem to be more intriguing because of the somewhat pettiness. And also on top of that, just the idea that some players just want to be able to be in a new spot. This is where the NBA is, and you can take a look at the National Hockey League, look at the NFL, Major League Baseball. None of those particular sports have the same juice as the NBA. You just label three major stories with Anthony Davis, Chicago's own, Kristaps Porzingis, as well as Kyrie Irving. They're all in the news on Super Week, and everyone's keeping their eyes on it.
So let's get you caught up with all the news taking place this evening as we head into the weekend looking at the Super Bowl. So Brian Windhorst earlier today with this piece on ESPN.com. With the Anthony Davis and Kristaps Porzingis bombshells rocking the NBA this week, teams are cautiously turning their eye towards Boston and whether or not there will be any fallout in the effects of Kyrie Irving's future. In the recent days, teams, players, and agents have been discussing the possibility of a free agent to be Irving might not be as committed as they thought to the Celtics, as he publicly stated earlier this year, as multiple sources have told ESPN. Today at shoot-around at Madison Square Garden, Kyrie Irving spoke to the media because the Celtics and the Knicks are playing right now on ESPN television. And this is what Kyrie had to say about free agent rumors since the Davis trade request was made and how his name has come up publicly in the last couple days.
I mean, well, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career. And, you know, that's just where it stands. And my focus this season is winning a championship with the Boston Celtics. You know, obviously we had goals coming into the season and primary goal is to win championships. So that's where my focus is.
Has your mindset shifted, though, in regards to re-signing with Boston, like the announcement?
Ask me July 1st.
So that's Kyrie Irving earlier today at Madison Square Garden. Now, that news was all over the place this afternoon. Ask me July 1st does not seem like a commitment to the Boston Celtics. This is the same Kyrie Irving a couple weeks ago that called LeBron James to apologize. And we were doing this show in these very same seats in this very same space on a Friday night saying, hold up. Why are Kyrie and LeBron flirting now through social media back and forth and talking to each other and trying to rekindle something that was lost over the breakup of the Cavs championship team? So Kyrie Irving, his future with the Celtics, it seems to be on not stable ground at the moment.
No, I think that he's being a businessman.
Okay, all right, he's keeping his options open.
Absolutely, but I mean, because free agency is looming, right?
So
you don't have to say one way or the other. You can say that you like Boston, that you love being there, but you don't know that you're going to be there for the long haul. And so that's how you have to play it. There is a difference, though, between the Kyrie Irving story and Anthony Davis and Kristaps Porzingis.
Yes, and so then that brings us to our other lead story in the NBA tonight, and that's with Anthony Davis. He spoke today at the Pelicans practice facility for the first time publicly after he and his agent have made trade requests from the New Orleans Pelicans. Here's Anthony Davis on just wanting to take advantage of his prime.
I had high hopes. You know, when you play somewhere for a long time, you know, 7 years, well, six and a half, I guess. This is all I know is New Orleans. Like I said, you know, I always talked about just winning. And for me, you know, I just feel like it's my time. You know, like I said, you don't know how long you're going to play this game, you know, and I feel like I'm in my prime right now. I'm playing at an elite level, and, you know, I think that, you know, I want to make sure that I take advantage of that.
Anthony Davis also mentioned the fact if whether or not this is a decision he's making over his legacy, long-term legacy, or the money he can earn.
You know, I've had that question before, legacy over money, and I'm all about legacy. You know, the money comes and goes, you know, when I get done playing or leave this earth, you know, what is my legacy going to be?
He was also asked, has the losing with the Pelicans in recent years and this year swayed him to want to leave New Orleans?
Not necessarily, you know, somewhat, but like I said, for the most part, you know, just thinking about my career and, you know, my future, you know, your legacy, my legacy, and doing what's best for me.
And Anthony Davis is right in the middle of all these rumors with the Boston Celtics, which leads us to the latest breaking news, Jonathan, which is Anthony Davis' father speaking tonight to Ramona Shelburne.
Indeed. So it's very interesting to hear from Anthony Davis's father by saying that I don't want my son to play with the Celtics because of how the Celtics treated Isaiah Thomas. Huh? Isaiah Thomas. I mean, one of the more unlikable players in the NBA for me, Isaiah Thomas, a guy who came to the Cavaliers, by the way, and said, man, we're not playing defense. Why is everybody blaming me? Talk about Lil Band's complex. Definitely Isaiah Thomas is a guy that I'm not a big fan of. And so if you're going to use Isaiah Thomas, though, as the reason, as the measuring stick for this, it's like, well, is that the reason? I mean, so now the father gets involved, so now Boston will not be in the mix for Anthony Davis, looks like.
Anthony Davis Sr. finishes his comment by saying, no loyalty. Guy gives his heart and soul, and they trade him. This is just my opinion, not Anthony's. I've seen things over the years with Boston. There's no loyalty there. So it doesn't sound as if, and we've seen other reports from Zach Lowe and other reporters, Adrian Wojnarowski throughout the last, 24 hours, saying that Boston is not on the desired list for Anthony Davis to sign in free agency, whether you trade for him or not,
right,
even though the Celtics are entrenched in this conversation, because in the summer, if Davis is still with the Pelicans, they want to make a play and try and land him with the Celtics.
Okay, so here's the difference between the first story you talked about with what's going on with our guy here, Kyrie Irving from Boston, and with Anthony Davis. There's a difference. Here's a difference. Kyrie will be a free agent at season's end. It's going to be a great story starting on July 1st to find out where these free agents are going. Kyrie Irving has an opportunity to go to the Knicks. He can stay with Boston. He can go wherever he wants to go. The apology that you were talking about earlier from Kyrie Irving to LeBron James was saying, you know, I didn't understand the leadership thing, and whether or not the apology rings hollow, whether it's true or not, it was out there for everyone to hear. And so now Kyrie Irving, the whole thing, his whole thing with him wanting to be away from Cleveland is that he wanted to have his own joint. He wanted to be able to have his own team to lead. He wanted to be able to win an NBA championship. He wants to be the reason to win the NBA championship. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You didn't want to be with Cleveland anymore because LeBron was there, and now you go to Boston. You would think Boston would be on the precipice, right there on the edge of at least winning Eastern Conference championship with Isaiah Thomas being there, but maybe he looks at something else. Maybe he looks at the place he's playing in right now at Madison Square Garden. That's one story. But the story about Anthony Davis is different because as he was all those years with the Pelicans, you and I both knew he wasn't going to win a championship there. The market size, Katrina, lack of butts and seats at the Smoothie King Center, they weren't going to win anything there. And the other thing is, too, he is the superstar. So now you're trying to find someone that can match him. When Boogie Cousins got there, that was a great 1-2 punch. But once again, there was limitations because we know Boogie wasn't going to be there for the long haul. But he wants to control a spot where he can be able to win a championship. I say this all the time, and baby boomers and maybe some of the Gen Xers just don't get it. This is not MTV Cribs from the 90s where Dana Barros opens up his house like, oh, five swimming pools, all these women, six cars, MTV Cribs. What's that? It's not that.
Scarface poster on the wall.
Right. This is not the 90s, man. This is not like, okay, I have all this money. Who cares about a championship? Leo, look how much money we got in the league. What's up? It's not that. As you just heard from Davis, here's the difference in this generation versus mine, which we just had all kind of money everywhere, you know, laying on a mattress filled with money. This generation cares about legacy. They don't want to be Reggie Miller. They don't want to be Fred Brown or Alvin Adams or Manu Ginobili. Ginobili won championships. But they don't want to stay in one place and feel like, well, we got to wait for GMs to get us a championship. Look, even Karl Malone had to leave. Even Malone had to leave after all those years waiting for the Jazz. And, of course, there was a ceiling on the success for the Jazz because of Michael Jordan on the other side. But, Chris, the point is that you cannot just sit and wait for general managers to generally manage and do their job and hope, well, man, you know, if I just stay here and just stay loyal, I know we're going to win a championship. Look, today's generation, they want to get closer to a championship because the money's going to be there, as you just said. The legacy and the championships, that's what they want to be closer to. And they will be with as many talented players as possible to get it.
Well, and what's funny about what you just said right there is not only do the players want the GMs to accomplish something to them, make it seem like they're actually trying to win and help them get to help with the legacy, the fan bases do too. You know, like in that's what I think we can kind of bring this all full circle to the Chicago Bulls is that you take a look at the way things are going around the league is, yeah, players want to maximize their legacy and to find their place within basketball history. But also fan bases want winning. They want teams to win, and sitting around and hoping for the plant to grow isn't enough anymore. Hoping for your GM to put pieces together to see it come together 5 years down the road isn't how the league works anymore. Jonathan, if you just take a look at some of the big names that have been traded recently, just think of the teams and the names. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard,
yep.
Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler, Philadelphia 76ers. Kyrie Irving, the Boston Celtics. Paul George, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. James Harden, he was traded to the Rockets, right? Porzingis yesterday to the Mavericks, and I know the Mavericks aren't a competing team right now, but last year they also traded for Luka Doncic, who is probably going to be the rookie of the year. And you say, wait, they drafted no, they were drafting fifth and they traded up the three to get their guy because they knew they wanted that man. Mm-hmm. They wanted Doncic. Kevin Garnett, remember the Celtics when they won that championship?
Yeah.
They traded for Kevin Garnett. And even if you want to say, well, Black, it doesn't matter because the Warriors win everything and it doesn't matter what you do and what GMs do, you know the Warriors made a trade that started all of this, right?
Yes, they did.
They traded for Andre Iguodala from the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And if you say, wait, hold on, he was there before the Warriors got good and all this. Yeah, he was traded the season before Steve Kerr was there. And that year, when Steve Kerr first arrived, they won 67 ball games. So Iguodala was a part of the crew with Steph and Clay that was there to start that. He was a piece that was out there that they went and got to help them get to the next spot.
Yeah, Iguodala in the same draft as Luol Deng. Sixers and Sixers fans did not appreciate him because they were like, how come you're not scoring 25 points a game? He's really more of a defensive stopper, slasher, and then he went elsewhere as a role player and really flourished.
Not the guy, but a guy.
A guy.
And solid, and though. So like the thing that I want to ask you is, look at the other teams that weren't mentioned. Denver, built from the ground up. But will they ever win? We don't know that answer yet. Portland, built from the ground up. Will they ever win? It seems like each year they kind of are missing that one extra piece. It seems like at some point Damian Lillard's going to be available. It seems like that's not going to last forever. I'm just saying.
Dame says he's going to be there forever.
Okay, well, that's what guys say until they get disgruntled and then they want out, right? Like, you know, you look at Milwaukee. Right now, Milwaukee looks great.
Yep.
Built from the ground up. But outside of Milwaukee, Denver, Portland, Utah, I mean, everyone else in the league has a major piece that they went out and traded for. And the point of pointing all of this out, Jonathan, is if you are sitting there and you have a big board on in your office as a GM or a basketball president, and you say, here are the guys that I wish I had. Mm-hmm. This guy fits what I want to do. That guy has talent that I don't think people appreciate. You know, because that's what took place with James Harden. Not everyone appreciated the talent that James Harden was.
Right.
Okay, if you have this board and you have these names on the board, you got to go get them. Because sitting around and waiting for your guys to turn into someone who could be on that big board, that's never going to happen. And we've seen it time and time again in the league. And the question is, who's the next guy to be that guy? To move because he's disgruntled? Is it Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota? Is it Devin Booker with the Suns? Is it someone like Giannis? Who knows? Right now he's an MVP candidate and everything's going great in Milwaukee, but it's still Milwaukee. Who says that he's ever going to stay there for the long term? Or is it Damian Lillard? I think the thing you got to point out is, no matter who you are in the league, if there's someone out there that you think you could use, or you want to make your team to get to that next level, you got to go get it, because that's the way this league is. It's not sit and wait and maybe we can get a meeting in free agency. It's you have to go get that guy.
So who are you hinting at? Who are you talking to when you say you got to get that guy? Who's you? Pronouns, pal. Who's you when you're saying that?
The Bulls front office.
Oh, the Bulls. Well, can't be the Bulls because the Bulls don't operate that way. Sitting at 12-40, they are the mom and pop shop in the corner. The little kids go and get the candy, go, and they see their books at tax time. So, oh, looks like we're losing more money again. What are we going to do, Ralph? What we're going to do is you're going to continue to go to the draft. And you're going to still try to build through the draft. And there is the issue right there. See, what Chris was just talking about is very clear, is that, the, yes, in this NBA, and something we got to talk about, too, is, as far as how much how these players are disgruntled and do want to win a championship.
Yeah.
But I think that as we look straight on at C Red Nation here, at Bulls Nation, you've got to understand that you've got to be able to build the type of culture in which players would want to play in for you and for your organization and play for your city. Because think about it. If you are just building through the draft and you're spinning your wheels and you don't have the culture, you don't have the head coach, you don't have the infrastructure, and you have a bad reputation, then you'll always be the same. See, I know that there are some on the outside looking in, so these Bulls fans that look at the big lottery ticket is going to be Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, it's going to be Ja Morant, and that's going to be able to help you. That's not necessarily the answer. The answer is to be able to have a culture in which you have draft picks as assets that you could trade to make your team better. And I don't mean Ben Wallace and Pau Gasol and Jalen Rose. That's not what I mean. You've got to be able to find a way to get better quickly. Because being at the bottom, I will tell you right now, the New York Knicks, because of the deal with Kristaps Porzingis, they have cleared. Now, listen, on the surface, it sounds crazy, but they traded their future for cap room. And they're hoping to be able to get someone quality, one or two quality players, two max deals, if possible, to get themselves in a playoff position. In an East that can be had, by the way. Even with the growth of the Bucks and the 76ers and the Celtics and the Raptors, you still can be able to move forward when you have quality cap space to get someone here July 1st.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck here on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday talking about the Knicks' chances at landing a big free agent yesterday on SportsCenter.
They certainly have the space now for two big free agents. And listen, they would love to get two, but it starts with one. And if they got one significant free agent, they could roll the money over to next year and then go back into it. But there's no question that Kevin Durant is the focus for this organization. And, you know, part of the aggressiveness they showed today to get that money off, you know, to move Porzingis out, was some level of confidence that they're going to be, you know, really competitive in his recruitment come July.
Stephen A. Smith yesterday on ESPN Radio, the Knicks not only traded Porzingis, creating the space, they did a couple different things in pulling off this move.
You couldn't have him around telling everybody he did not want to be there and therefore turning off prospective free agents as well. You also have to remember that they picked up the phone to try to get an Anthony Davis deal done. New Orleans wouldn't bite. They didn't feel they had until this summer to do something else with Porzingis. And on top of it all, they didn't know what the situation was going to be with Anthony Davis because the Pelicans were controlling those strings, not them. In this instance, they're saying, hey, we're going to sink anyway, no matter which way you slice it. So guess what? We hit rock bottom. We try to position ourselves to capture the number one overall pick in the draft, which will be Zion Williamson. At the same time, we got to play in Dennis Smith Jr., who only cost us about $4 to $5 million. And we still have cap space to go after not one, but two marquee players. And because we have the ability to get two, those marquee players can communicate with one another about joining forces like LeBron did with Miami years ago.
Mark Stein from the New York Times yesterday on ESPN Radio also talked about this Knicks situation, how they have something up their sleeves.
The Mavericks were willing to take on Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract and Courtney Lee's contract. And because of that, the Knicks now have opened up all this cap space. And around the league, people look at that and they say, the Knicks must know something. They wouldn't make this move if they didn't believe they really have a shot at a Durant-Irving tandem or, at worst, a Durant-Kemba Walker tandem. We've heard the talk that Durant is going to consider the Knicks strongly, and I think if you poll GMs, they would tell you that the Knicks are the strongest threat to get Durant if we're going to see him leave Golden State. But this really signals to everyone around the league, man, the Knicks have something up their sleeve.
So Adrian Wojnarowski, Mark Stein, and Stephen A. Smith, Jonathan.
Okay, so let's see if we can open up the minds of, of Bulls fans listening to this conversation. They're saying, well, where are they trying to get to? What are they trying to talk about? Why are they talking about these trades? Because Chris and I are trying to make you understand. And as I've always said, that there's a difference between Bulls fans and Bulls Nation. There is a difference between the two.
Yeah.
Bulls Nation believes that no matter what, everything's going to be fine. It's the emoji of the little dog in the fire. Everything's going to be fine. But what I'm telling you is that when you're looking at what's happening with this Bulls team, look at what the Bulls are trying to do. Oh, all in for Zion. Suck for Zion. Make sure that you're all in for RJ Barrett. So once again, you're just trying to build around Denzel Valentine, ultimately. And you're not doing what the Knicks are doing. The Knicks, yes, they're awful. They haven't been relevant since 1973. But what they've done is, and it's controversial, there's no doubt, they rolled the dice because Porzingis and his agent is his brother, says, we want out of here. This is the third time that Porzingis has hinted that he wanted out. He goes to Dallas. But as you just heard in those sound bites there, the Knicks are in a spot here to get one or both. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, who likes New York, Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins, I just gave you the top five or six right there, right? If you're the Knicks, you better make sure you get yourself a top guy, because if you're just getting Boogie and Tobias Harris, that city is going to burn for that.
Wouldn't that be great, though?
Yeah, it'd be funny if all you had is Tobias Harris and D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
But the point is that you have to roll the dice, Chris. You have to be able to say, here's our organization. We're at rock bottom. The bottom. Because you, as much as you might like Markkanen, and you might like Dunn, and you like some of them, these parts, they're injured or they are underachieving. But don't you need a little something to get your organization going? That's why the Knicks did what they did, because they feel, and this is something we've talked about on our podcast as well, that New York seems to be the spot here where the NBA league and players respect David Fizdale. They figured that because their businesses are in New York, they can set up shop in New York and try to win there. And that's why they did what they did. It is crazy. Trading the guy that they drafted, Porzingis, and on his first deal, his rookie deal, as a restricted free agent at season's end. But they're doing it because they're all in on KD or a Kawhi or a Kyrie or someone else that's in the upper echelon of the free agent market.
And isn't that why when you speak to the C-Red Nation fan, the Chicago Bulls fan, and you say, well, what if you have to give up Markkanen? And people are like, oh, no, can't give up Lauri Markkanen. Why you're not? Like, well, the reason the Knicks did this is because now they're going to be a major player this offseason. Whether or not it works or not, at least they're making a proactive move to improve the team. And I get it. Oh, well, it's not necessarily improved.
And
listen,
when's the last time the Bulls been a major player in the offseason?
What'd you just throw at me?
Just asking.
No, they haven't. And that's the thing is whenever they are in free agency, they're getting the fourth, the fifth, the sixth best option that's out there. It's never the best free agent. And I think that's where we're going to ask you this question at 312-332-3776 tonight. How do you feel right now about the direction of the Bulls? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in between? If you feel good about it, tell us why you feel good about the direction of the Bulls. Maybe you like developing things. I don't know. If you don't feel good, if you feel bad about the direction of the Bulls, I want to know why you feel bad about it. Is it specifically because of the lack of creative moves from the front office? Is it the lack of development of the young players? Is it maybe the coach? Maybe the front office? Whatever the case may be, why don't you like the direction of the Chicago Bulls? 312-332-3776. You know, Jonathan, when we take a look back on this season, I think right now it's easy to be reactionary to what's taking place. But in the long-term view of it, we might look back on this season and think a couple of things. One, this year was used for development. Two, it was a chance to tank. Three, it was a disaster. Four, it was a season that set the franchise back farther than we thought it could be set back. And I think when you kind of take a look at all of this stuff, and maybe you say, maybe there's a fifth option. Maybe it's not a big deal after all in the grand scheme. Maybe what takes place this season won't really have any bearing 5 years from now on anything that takes place in the Chicago Bulls organization. But the one thing I keep going to is if development is your answer, and that's what this season's going to mean when we go 5 years down the road, what development? Because to this point, we haven't seen any. Your young players are not getting better. Your young players are not playing a style of basketball that will translate 2-3 years down the road where you're a winning basketball team in this day and age of the NBA.
The development is not 2019 NBA.
No.
It just isn't. Now, on some ways, with top draft picks, yes, development meaning you want to plug and play, give them minutes, and get them going. But development of middle-of-the-road veterans like the Bulls have, or development of guys that have been in the program a couple years now, what development, what more do you need to see from Bobby Portis? What more do you need to see from Valentine when he's healthy? You know, those are the questions that you have to ask yourself, because the buzz is on bad teams that are trying to get better quickly here in the offseason, and Chicago's not in that position to do so. I think we also should mention this, too, because this is part of the conversation. Because I know for some of my listeners here, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, why is it? Why is it that Kristaps Porzingis is demanding a trade? Why is it that we're seeing here Kyrie Irving kind of hinting around maybe he'll leave? That's one story. But then, of course, Anthony Davis, Chicago's own, wanting to leave. The power lies in the hands of the NBA players, Chris, as you well know that. You know, you aren't tethered to an organization for 10 years. Players don't want to be able to do that because of the lack of commitment to get better. No real aspirations of a championship and a lack of quality on rosters. That's what makes today's players look for greener pastures. Jimmy Butler more than likely may leave even Philadelphia. He demanded a trade out of Minnesota. That was not the right thing to do from my standpoint, but that's what he thought was best for him. He wanted to get out of there because he didn't want to play with Wiggins and Towns. Okay, Kristaps Porzingis, same thing. Won out of New York for three times now. He's asked for it. Now he's with Dallas.
Yeah.
And so to me, it does not speak of class to me, But I understand that a player and his mistrust of general managers and organizations are saying, you know what, you're not really committed to winning. I want to be able to win a championship. You have to measure it, though, as a fan, right?
Yeah.
What is meaningful to you? A player wanting to win a championship and willing to come to your team, or the other side of it is saying, well, man, as soon as he starts him, he quits. What kind of guy is, what kind of player is he? You got to measure both of them because I think they're both good talking points.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you take a look at the Bulls heading into the offseason, you say, well, why can't they be a player? There are eight teams right now, according to basketballreference.com, that will have more cap space this summer than the Chicago Bulls. Now, remember, when the Bulls were 41-41 and this rebuild was starting, remember when they tore this apart and they traded Jimmy Butler and all this rebuild, the young core and all this stuff? The front office told us that they were going to have cap space for the future. They weren't going to spend now, so we will spend in the future. Well, there are eight teams this summer that will have more cap space. So they outdid what you were doing when you thought that you were the hot guy on the block. You thought that you were Billy Bean with the A's, with your money ball.
You can't do it that way, man.
Heading into the offseason with $73.8 million on the books for next season. So, I mean, just think of it that way, too. Your future is basically already on the court, and that's why development and why guys want to stay where they are and making the decisions to want to go somewhere else are all big highlighted things for the both of us, because when you take a look at it, it dilutes this situation here in Chicago. Like, how do we get out of the mess we're in? And that's why we're asking you at 312-332-3776. How do you feel about the Bulls and the direction of the franchise right now? Let's go on out to Hyde Park and Taylor. You're first up here on ESPN 1000. What do you think of the direction of the Bulls, Taylor?
Hey, what's going on, Hood?
What's up, Taylor?
And Black. Hey, look.
What up?
There's no way anyone can have a positive outlook on the Bulls. I think it's time for, like, Chicago fans to be real about the city of Chicago. This is not an attractive place for young Black athletes to want to come from the city itself. Management itself has proven they can't keep superstars. They can't maintain and keep them happy. Quasi Jimmy Butler, obviously Derrick Rose had his injury issues. Joakim Noah had some issues. I get that. But you can't keep superstars here. And then third, you can't really draft well. I mean, if we're talking about Lauri Markkanen being, you know, our 1A player or 1B player, it's kind of ridiculous. As much as I like Zach LaVine from his athletic standpoint, again, he can't carry a team either. So what else is there to do besides, you know, go for Zion Williamson? And that's pretty much it. Otherwise, no one's coming here, period.
Appreciate the call, Taylor. Jonathan, I want to ask you, though, do you think it's a Chicago thing or a Bulls organizational thing?
I think it's all tied together.
Really? Like, I don't think the city really has a negative impact nationally to free agents or athletes.
Well, who are the hot teams that are flocking here for your free agency in the Midwest?
Yeah, but like baseball players,
No. That's the summer.
Okay. Well,
come on.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, some free agents signed with the Bears. Allen Robinson signed here.
Yeah, you're just here until December, January. Get out of here.
So for the Bulls, because you're here during the winter, no one wants to be here.
But just no, it's just the idea that the NBA is a different culture.
It is.
What you just laid out there is a different culture. The Chicago Bears have been able to get free agents here because they're like, I love the city. They love the tradition. They feel that we feel that we're close, or they got a lot of money to put on me, so I'm going to play here. No, that's not a problem with the other sports. It's not a problem with the NHL.
Yeah.
It's not a problem with the Blackhawks. No, they could be. No, it's the culture of the NBA. And this is why we're talking about this, because it's completely different in the NBA because of Stan Van Gundy talking on Cap and Company this week. We played the sound bites on the show this week. You know, what he said permeates through all of the hotel lobbies and through agents and through the NBA culture. It all permeates through it. They all know. They all know the perception of the Chicago Bulls. And so here's one thing we got to point out. Could you imagine if the Bulls put their nuts on the table and just like, you know what? We're going to trade Lauri Markkanen, and we're going to be able to get rid of some of these guys and get cap space. Could you imagine what they'd get in return? Terry Rozier? And then shine him up like he's going to be a superstar?
Well,
seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, but
imagine. Now, again, the Knicks, they have something to sell. They got Madison Square Garden. They've got a good coach that many people respect. What the Bulls got? A guy around with a whistle around his neck.
Yeah, doing push-ups. It's different. That's going to work. Let's go to Gideon in Antioch. Gideon, where are the Bulls? What do you think of their direction right now?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I posted a Twitter poll on my Twitter yesterday, and it was asking what a true Bulls fan wants. And I think what a true Bulls fan should want is losses and cheaper ticket prices. So the reason why we should want losses is because I think we should try and go for that number one pick. And if we're lucky enough to get the number one pick, I think if Jerry Reinsdorf is smart, he should go ahead and fire Pax and Gar. Bring in a smarter basketball mind. I know we have Doug Collins in the front office, and I think he's a smart basketball mind, but maybe there's someone else, something like what the Bears did with bringing in Ernie Accorsi a few years ago. Maybe, like, I don't know, maybe George Karl. I think he's a smart basketball mind.
No.
But he advised management on who to hire.
All right, thank you for your call, Gideon. I don't think people in today's current NBA are big fans of George Karl, for one. Two, my stance on the Bulls organization is this. I know they don't want my advice, but if I gave it to them, it would be this. You need more people from outside the organization helping out. You too often go back to your own think tank of people who have been there forever. And Doug Collins, even though he may have been successful in different spots, he's still from here. That's the problem. You need to get people who are not from here, who have won at different spots, to give a fresh set of eyes to this scene. And having the same old people just roll up the shirt sleeves and think that elbow grease is going to get this done, it will not.
Just won't. Well, it's not never going to happen.
No,
because of the L word, loyalty. Yeah.
Well,
they will hold on to those jobs. They will die in those jobs. They'll die in the chair before they make changes, because John Paxson brought championships, a part of a championship team. Gar has been with the organization for a long time. It's clear it needs a fresh set of eyes. But if you're not willing to change, then the direction will always be the same.
And let's be real. Jerry has nothing to do with any of this. Michael Reinsdorf is running the Bulls right now, and Jerry's preoccupied with chasing Manny Machado. So what? The Bulls got some extra cash today, right?
Yeah.
Because Carmelo's officially waived, and they pulled back a player from Luwawu from Oklahoma City and some cash. Is that cash going to the basketball operation, or is that heading over to the White Sox chase for Machado?
It would be hard for me. I'm kidding, but I'm serious. No, actually, what I'm saying is that I think that the coffers are both the same.
Yeah, well, see, there you go.
I think it's from the same Crown Royal bag.
Well, and see, doesn't that also play into why we see the Knicks being aggressive? We see other teams setting up their future, but the Bulls are on hold, treading water, because the baseball team needs to be taken care of first, right? Because the baseball team has been rebuilding, but now we have to chase a free agent with the baseball team. Once we get that figured out, all right, 4 or 5 years when they've got a winning baseball team, oh yeah, then we can figure out whether or not the basketball team is going to win. As long as you keep coming to the UC. Let's go to Rodney in Oak Park. Rodney, what do you think of the situation?
Yeah, I think that it's more of a Chicago problem. And I mean, Chicago starts off with, okay, you start with the Bears. I mean, but I think the Bulls situation go way back to B.J. Armstrong, and when it was time for B.J., to assume that position of general manager, you know, they just jumped over him and took a broadcaster and put him in the general manager place. And that was after what happened with Michael Jordan. So this whole thing has been one thing after another. Now the Bulls are trying to make Larry Markkanen into their big star, which is not going to make it. He's a jump-shooting big man who's not ever going to be a star. But with Paxton, that's what Paxton wants. He wants Larry Markkanen to be the superstar. It's not going to work. And no free agent is going to come to Chicago. Let's be honest, especially Afro-American, big-time free agent. Why would you come to Chicago? When have they ever showed you love? The only superstar you had when, you know, times got tough, the whole city turned on Derrick Rose. So, you know, it's not just a Bulls thing. It's a Chicago thing.
The whole city did not turn on Derrick Rose.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
6% of that's all I heard. Derrick Rose was this. Derrick Rose was bad. Derrick Rose. And that's, you know, who didn't turn on Derrick?
You didn't.
The fans didn't.
You didn't.
Turn on Derrick,
I didn't.
But the media did. You did. But I can hear a lot of broadcasters did turn on Derrick. Not you in particular. But if you listen to the radio and the news, you know, Derrick Rose was a bad person. And yeah, the fans love Derek. I know what Derek did for the community. I'm in the community, so I know what Derek does. But no one talks about what Derek did for the community in the newspapers and the radio.
All right. We appreciate the phone call, Roddy, but you cannot continue to paint with a broad brush saying that nobody did this and nobody. You can't do that. Because just because it's not in your home where you don't see it, you can't say that nobody on the radio talked about Derek Rose in a positive light and no one talked about what he did for Simeon and around the community. You got to stop. You can't paint with a broad brush. And Derek Rose's injuries is not the reason why the Bulls won't be able to get Kevin Durant in free agency. It's the culture around the organization.
Yeah, and let's be real. Derek Rose did amazing things for this city, for his community specifically, and for people of this city, just giving them hope of someone being able to make it from where he's from.
Yep.
I agree. Derrick Rose also was cleared to play basketball and chose not to play basketball on a playoff team.
Yep.
So if a media member like myself points that out, that's not being negative on Derrick Rose. That's telling you facts. There's a lot of that going on in today's world where a negative fact is just hating. Or a negative fact is just being negative. No, it's just pointing out that that's something that took place. He's a good person. He's done great things, and he was good when he was healthy. He also was cleared medically by the Bulls and said, nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
it's not very Chicago-like in my eyes, but I don't know.
You just got to be able to tell both sides of the story. Now, again, if one of those sides of the story, if you don't like it, then you don't have to listen to it. But if there's something that's out there, especially if we have our ear to the ground and finding out information, whether it's positive or negative, you're going to hear it. And if you don't want to hear it, don't just paint it as hate. Paint it as, oh, I didn't know that story. But again, we're here to educate you and entertain you, not to just to be able to just put somebody in a corner. We're not trying to do that.
Jonathan Hood, Chris Black here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Steve in Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN app, joins the show. Steve, what do you think of the direction of the Chicago Bulls?
Guys, I have really no hope for the Chicago Bulls right now. And I really think it all starts at the top with the Reinsdorfs. You know, with the White Sox and the Bulls mired in a very, very bad situation. You know, owning two teams and not really, you know, putting resources into, you know, making teams better. I really think it is starting to show that. And if you've been following, you know, a lot of players after the game are really speaking out against Boylan and his style. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to use the racial term like a slave master, but I really think Boylan is not fit for today's NBA coaching style, much less college, where players are younger, faster. And it's a reflection of guard packs and the way they conduct themselves on the business, and Reinsdorf's, for some reason, giving a free pass every single year. And unless we have another Donald T. Sterling situation, I think this team is pretty much hopeless. I want to know what you guys think. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Steve. Hopeless because of the ownership, I do kind of agree with. Boylan.
I don't want a Donald T. Sterling situation.
Let's not do that.
I don't want the secret recording of, he's got AIDS.
Yeah. Let's not do that. Let's not turn this into a 60 Minutes piece.
I don't want Reinsdorf to talk to a younger woman with these big wielding shades and roller skates. I don't want to have that situation where he's like, you know,
what was her name? Like V something?
V Stringer.
I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah. It was Jack. It was was it Bunny or something?
I don't
he's
know.
He says, call me Bunny.
For the ownership, like, we just would like them to put their foot on the gas and actually treat this team as an elite team in NBA history, trying to win championships, getting marquee free agents, and going that route. The Jim Boylan thing, he clearly doesn't fit today's player. I think that's obvious.
V. Stiviano.
See, I told you is V something with her sunglasses. On 60 Minutes, right? With the private recordings.
Big Magic Johnson. What has he ever done? I mean, that's what he said.
No, I know. It's
HIV. But he's got AIDS. That's what he was saying.
On the recording. Yes. Stiviano.
Yes, that's what he kept saying. I'm like, what is going on?
Did you hear TNT last night, Barkley, on all this player movement stuff?
I did.
All right, I'm going to play it for you. Coming up next, Jonathan Hood, Chris Black, right here on ESPN 1000.
It's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Coming from the south, 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 side of the south.
You can follow Jonathan on Twitter at TweetJHood. I'm Chris Black at Chris Black on Twitter. We're here till 9 o'clock. In about 15 minutes, we will talk with Alex Brown and preview Super Bowl 53 with the Patriots and the Rams. But Jonathan, did you see this on TNT last night? Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, and Shaq talking about free agents and Anthony Davis trying to work his way towards the Lakers.
We cannot have players and agents colluding to stack super teams. Adam Silver needs to say, Anthony Davis, we love you.
You can't have players?
We can't have players dictating who going to play together.
But they – time out.
So how'd you get to Houston?
As a player,
I got traded to you.
So, but I'm saying as a player.
You demanded that trade.
No, I did. You're saying as a player.
I don't like to.
Another player couldn't say, "Man, I would love to play with you one day, man. Let's get to, if you want to do it, I'm ready for it."
That's not what they're doing right now, Kenny. They're stacking the team. The agents, guys are sharing agents. They're stacking team.
So, Jonathan, I ask you: do you agree with Chuck, Charles Barkley, that the agents are stacking teams to get their players to specific locations?
I love Chuck, but that's a lie. The idea that he wanted to stay with the Sixers. No, he wanted out too.
Yeah,
he was part of a super team also. So that's not true. He clearly wanted to be out of that situation and be part of a championship team if possible.
Well, it happened in Houston too. He did it twice.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's not true. Now you could just tell who's from the Stern era, who's not, because I tell you one thing: David Stern probably would have blocked a lot of this stuff, like he did the Chris Paul deal. Because of basketball reasons. I think Silver will allow all this to happen. But again, when you put the power in the hands of the player, this is what's happening. And if he's got a problem with Clutch Sports, you know, get him on TNT and let him talk to the people like Rich Paul and everybody else. Because ultimately, Chris, what people have to understand is the whole league is based on what Clutch Sports wants and what LeBron wants.
Yeah, and that's the relationship, right? Because if you're a casual sports fan, you're like, Clutch Sports, isn't that just an agency? Well, it's an agency started by Rich Paul, which started with basically the funding of LeBron James. If LeBron James never happened to Rich Paul, Clutch Sports would have never happened, because Rich Paul got a job because he signed LeBron, then got a job with CAA Agency, and then broke off and did his own thing. So basically, it's like Jonathan and I sitting here, and Jonathan starts his own business. We're good friends. Wouldn't I know what you're up to?
Yes.
Like the fact that LeBron is so entangled with Clutch Sports that he knows what the clients of Clutch Sports are doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's obvious that there's a deeper story to all of this, that LeBron is really running the league. Like, that sounds like a crazy statement, but he basically is.
Yes. And guess what? With all the championships for Tom Brady and all of his success, he wishes he had that type of power, that individual power. But LeBron James has it. The reason why he's going to be around for 4+ years is because he'll continue to try to recruit young players around him to try to win another championship.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black. We'll talk with Alex Brown in more basketball conversation coming up next on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000.